Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 637. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Another day, another wrestling podcast, it feels like. It is kind of funny along with AEW's newest signing, one Mr. Paul White, or people might know him, the Big Show. He jumped off the WWE ship and went over to AEW, and there's going to be another dark program that he's going to be a commentator for,
yes, at least. Yeah, 22 years of being the Big Show. That's going to be hard to reprogram myself not to call him that.
That is why this signing is interesting. Just, I can't believe, now that you said that out loud, like, I'm not sure that I had read that number 22. I can't believe it. He was
almost exactly.
Wow. He was in the WWE for 22 years?
Yeah, because the first night in was the cage match with Austin and Vince, where he came through at the bottom of the ring.
Oh, my.
That was St. Valentine's Day Massacre night, 1999.
So
it was last week. It was almost it was to the day. Well, 2 weeks ago now.
Oh,
yeah.
Holy smokes.
14th, yep. 1999.
Wow. That gives me... I was kind of chuckling. David Bixbin was kind of complaining about the Big Show name just in general. Like, I hadn't even thought about the fact that I remember thinking how terrible that was when it first happened.
I mean, but they went, I think that they went through a couple of it. Because weren't they trying to, they were trying to get over, I remember them trying to get over Paul the Great White at one point. And then the Big Nasty.
Before they settled
on Big Show. And no, it was not considered a good name at the time.
But yeah, like I probably started to accept that when our one friend would get so annoyed by his music that she would walk out of the room. And when he finally got the it's the Big Show music, she just could not handle it at all.
Wow.
And
I'm not gonna be able to get used to that either. When he walks into a room. My God. No, I mean I don't think anything like this has ever thinking about it, I don't know if anything like this has ever happened before. I know he's not going there to wrestle full time or anything, but
oh
God! I guess Arn Anderson was working backstage with WWE for nearly 20 years, and before they fired him, and then he went to AEW not that much longer after that. But someone who was on camera in a major role not even a year ago.
Oh, yeah, and was part of a Netflix series that you were pushing heavy.
Yeah, that's an interesting part, because that did get canceled, and we don't know if it was more Netflix or WWE that canceled it. I would assume it was Netflix, but it was one of those things that, may have added up with them. It's just like, what else are we going to do for the rest of my life? I mean, I know they'll pay The Undertaker to sit at home and make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year or what have you, but were they willing to do the same? It sounds like they weren't willing to do the same for Big Show.
Yeah, I don't think we would be here if that were not the case. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, and I mean, I know that we've talked about it a couple of times, so no reason to really over rehash it. But yeah, Undertaker's like, oh, I'm showing up at whatever the I'm trying to think of what the podcast Starcast. And the
Starcast.
WWE's like, oh, never mind. We have more money than that.
Yeah, no, they obviously did not think that Mr. White was worth that kind of money to keep him locked up until he's in his 70s.
Yeah, because I mean, and this is the point too, where at least with the Undertaker thing, maybe you weren't taking it seriously. Maybe you were thinking that it was just gonna be, kind of a one-off thing, or that they weren't gonna launch their. Because I don't think they had launched their own promotion at that. Had
Yes, they
they?
had.
Oh, okay,
No,
they had.
that was for the first eight. That was
Okay.
for the first eight, the official AEW show. Yes.
Okay. Well, yeah, at least that would have been, a little more fresh for them. Like, and I don't know when the Undertaker's contract ran out in, compared to when that happened.
Yeah, his contract had gone up. I'm trying to think of the timeline. I know I watched The Last Ride, but it's like at some point he was not under a contract. He agreed to
Oh,
do
right.
the Starcast deal. Now, Conrad Thompson had always said that Starcast is a separate event from whatever AEW was doing, but they're closely related enough. And remember, if you
Oh.
remember the first AEW pay-per-view, one Mr. Bret Hart ended up on
Oh.
on AEW presenting the first AEW championship belt. And then
That
the next time he was on TV anywhere, Wonder of Wonders, it was with WWE. So I assume to avoid just completely avoid anything like that with the Undertaker, they made the deal.
Yeah, so yeah, that really is the interesting part. Like, he's not going to, he can have select feuds here and there. Everyone pining for the Marco Stunt Big Show match are people I don't want to know.
How do you not want to see Big Show versus Marco Stunt?
It's literally for the visual. That's all
Yeah, of
that it's
course it
for.
is.
And yeah.
I don't want to see him have actual competitive matches with anybody on the AEW roster. It's throwing Marco Stunt into the 18th row and finally getting him versus Shaq. That's it. Which that is a very interesting prospect at this point. There's got to be
Yeah.
it's like, and they're advertising Paul Waite to make his first appearance at Daly's Place next week when Shaq is doing the mixed tag. If nothing happens between them, people will be disappointed. So I hope, I mean, it all lines up too well. While
Oh.
Shaq is doing this mixed tag for seemingly no reason on an episode of Dynamite, but now it just so happens that's the first night that Paul White's gonna be on the show. Now, granted, this whole Shaq deal's been in the works for months, but who knows how long Big Show going to AEW has really been in been in the works.
Yeah, because it's some. I know that negotiations can kind of last to the end, but Big Show had that spot with Randy Orton sometime last year,
Yep.
and I can't remember. I know that I saw a date earlier today, but my memory banks is not pulling it. But I want to say it was June or July, something like that, like
Yeah.
midsummer.
But then he did. But then he showed up and did the ambulance match cameo, leading to the poker game where Randy Orton had night vision goggles on and attacked Big Show and friends while they were playing poker.
Yes.
And then there was the Legends Night of Raw back in January, when Big Show was basically spit on by Randy Orton and just made to look like a complete fool. So really, the last two times Big Show was on WWE TV, he was made to look like a fool. Yeah, you know what? Those things can add up. Those kind of slights can add up.
Yeah. And if one of his roles is as commentary, and I mean, they specifically mentioned that, so I mean, I feel like that's going to be more of a staple for him moving forward. Like, if that was his wish, I'm not quite sure why Vince wouldn't make that happen. You know, I guess I'm not completely sure who you bump, because I pretty much like everyone for the most part in the WWE. Like, I'm not going to say I love anyone, but I also don't really hate any of the announcers over there either.
I guess SmackDown could have used a third, because it's only two there.
Oh.
It's possible, but maybe he never expressed those kind of desires. I don't know. Once again, maybe he's had it in his head. Because, you know, if he talked to Tony Khan or even any of the or Cody, because they're officially executives, that's contract tampering if he's already under a contract. But if he's been talking to Jericho, that's the kind of thing that's been going on for decades in the wrestling business. there are ways around that contract tampering. He has been, you know, planning to go to AEW for a while, or you know, I'm sure he gave WWE a last ditch offer to keep him because that's a smart business.
And kind of a point that I was trying to get to earlier and didn't quite do, which is, I mean, the WWE, they've got to know the stakes at this point, you know what I mean? Like, AEW isn't going anywhere. They have a good time slot. TNT seems, from all concerned, it seems like TNT's happy with them. You know, if you don't come to contract with someone, that would be my first thought, you know what I mean? Is that's where they're headed. So, yeah. I guess to me, you've got to know that those are the stakes at this point.
I mean, I guess maybe you're thinking that they're not going to sign, well, I would say that they're not going to sign anyone at age 48, but they signed Sting at age 61.
and they're putting Tully Blanchard back into a ring after 30 years on the shelf. Great Goodly Moodly.
He's wrestled in the last, I think, 15 years on independent shows. I feel like that's true.
Oh, okay.
Because the old timers were all wrestling like all their old matches and stuff. Like Dusty and Tully were wrestling each other on independent shows in North Carolina in like the mid 2000s before.
Oh, well, that really doesn't make me feel any better, honestly. But yeah, AEW loves old people as much or possibly more than the WWE. It is pretty wild stuff. But I would think that the Big Show should have, some mileage left on him if they want to use him. And honestly, like, I'm trying to think if there are any good matchups in the WWE that he hasn't wrestled yet. You know what I mean?
There is absolutely nothing left for Big Show to do in WWE. Unless it's just to put over the next, you know, anytime they bring in a new monster, you know, it was just have him beat Big Show.
Yeah, and I feel like they have done nearly 20 years of that. So I'm not sure how useful it is at this point either. Like, and that's not to say that he doesn't have the skill to do that in the ring, but it's just, you know, it will be interesting to see. Like, this is the first full-blown guy that, I shouldn't say first full guy, because Dean Ambrose was definitely his own character before he went over to AEW. But I mean, even the Revival really only had a cup of coffee on the main roster. Is it 2 years?
Yeah, I would say 2 years.
Possibly three, like tops. It would have been three, I'd say. So yeah, the Revival wasn't that big. Sean Spears wasn't that big of a jump. I can't really, to me, I still can't count Cody, just because he had left long enough ago that, you know, he didn't go directly to AEW. So he kind of had some wear on him before this whole thing came about.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think of some of the other WWE guys that have come over, but like no one has had the gravitas of Paul White, for sure. Like, so yeah, it's pretty interesting. I don't really want to see him wrestle all that much.
No.
But it definitely is, this really is one of those ones where everyone has said that the industry was better, when there was competition. And I mean, this to me, like, even though they have signed away other WWE people, this one, like, really feels like something's happening.
Yeah. I mean, he's a legitimate legend. You know, and somebody who was thought to be a lifer of WWE. Yeah, you know, who would have ever thought that at this point in his life he would ever go to another wrestling company?
Yeah. Yeah, that is definitely a question I saw posed a lot the day of the signing, and I still don't really have a good, you know, like, I guess I would not have expected this to happen, you know? But he is in a pretty interesting spot. Like, I would definitely be way less concerned about him in the ring than, you know, Sting. So, you know, but again, like, if he's being announced as a commentator also, I don't think he's going to be making the appearances that Sting is kind of, at least inferring that he might be involved wrestling all too much, you know, but, and I do think you rightly point out that the first, big thing that, Paul White might do is interfere in this match, coming yeah. up.
Yeah. I can see, you know, all sides wanting to do this and have this match on a big AEW pay-per-view down the line. I mean, obviously it wouldn't be the one that's coming up a week from Sunday.
No, if they have any sense at all, they will at least wait until the next pay-per-view.
They'll wait till they can have more people in a building. Yeah.
Yeah. Since everyone seems to be saying that, you know, those types of restrictions should start lightening up, as pretty much everyone predicted almost from the goddamn start. You know, this summer / fall. Yeah, it would make a great deal of sense to hold off. And because their pay-per-views aren't as frequent, I would think that, honestly, the next one would probably be an okay landing spot for crowds, especially since Florida's already been fairly lax about things to start with.
Yeah.
Because are they doing that pay-per-view somewhere different?
No. The Daily's Place.
Oh, they're still Daily's Place. Okay. For some reason, I was thinking that they were going to go to Miami for something.
It was said that they were going to go, then they decided not to.
Oh, okay. Well, that's that's what it is then. I guess speaking of the pay-per-view, because I don't really have anything else on the Paul White topic. I don't think you've been on since we got the announcement that there's an exploding barbed wire death match at this coming pay-per-view.
No, I have not been on a Thursday show to talk about that since the announcement was made last week. No. I mean, it's a hell of an announcement. I've bought the last two AEW pay-per-views, so I'm not going to say I won't buy this one. In fact, more likely I will.
Right?
But yeah, no. It's a good idea. It's an interesting idea. It's separates them from WWE completely in that regard. Historically, I think that these matches, by and large, end up disappointing because the explosions aren't that big.
Oh,
it's basically like a firecracker going off, and. But the way they described it, it's barbed wire around the ropes, not barbed wire in place of the ropes.
Oh, okay.
And, like, basically, exploding landmine-type things on the outside, on each side of the ring. So, they essentially, anytime anyone's thrown out of the ring, they hit and it goes boom. That's how they've explained it so far.
It's something. I've got to admit, I still have the IWTV, and they advertise a lot of deathmatch stuff. Not terribly interested, but like you said, it's definitely something that puts AEW in a different category than the WWE.
If two dudes you've never heard of before are doing a death match, you don't really care unless you really want to see the gore. But this is something different. This is a world championship main event of a major promotion's pay per view. This never happened. Even when ECW was at its height, even when the Attitude Era was at its height, and just curiosity over these types of matches, in the 90s, because, in the tape creating community, and, these things were, videos of these Japanese death matches were passed around like pornography tapes. No major company went that far and did it.
Oh.
But now, you've got Jon Moxley, who it's absolutely his style. Even though he's never done anything. He's never done one before. He's probably done barbed wire, but I don't think he's done explosions.
Okay.
And then you've got Kenny Omega. This really should not be his thing. I know he did the one crazy match with Moxley that they showed clips of last night from the third AEW pay-per-view, I believe it was.
Oh,
but but this is a whole other ball game. For a wrestler's wrestler like Omega to do something like this. Best route machine.
Kenny Omega has been a real mystery on the AEW roster. Like, it seemed like when they just got him to the best bout machine, they've turned him into a complete crazy person. Because I guess the thing that is at least hurting me a little bit, there is definitely some curiosity, and there's a solid chance that I will get that pay-per-view. But yeah, like, this is kind of a match that, like, it's even gonna pale in comparison, or this is gonna be a much harsher version than, you know, I guess I think about the Jericho versus Omega match over in New Japan. But that was only a street, was that a street fight?
I think they just call it no disqualification.
Okay. Yeah, because they kind of busted some stuff out there, but when you, yeah, when you put those two words deathmatch at the end of something, you really need to pull out some stops. And that's kind of the other interesting thing. Like, obviously, the WWE has been concerned about advertisers and not doing things like this. It is pretty interesting that, you know, they're on at least the same size cable network. And, you know, they seem to be doing okay with advertisers. You know, and it'll be interesting to see if, you know, I mean, they've kind of announced this long enough ago, and no one seems to be concerned that AEW is going to, like, lose all their advertisers over it.
Well, I mean, it's not happening on TNT.
Yeah.
It's a pay-per-view thing, you know, something to really sell the Revolution pay-per-view. You know, it's an interesting idea. I'm very intrigued. I certainly want to see this thing, and you know, we'll see how it goes. I think it's interesting that Kenny Omega is the one who made the challenge. That feels ass backwards.
Oh, yes.
But then Moxley talked about how he's almost positive this is a trap, but he's gonna show up anyway.
Yeah, I mean, Moxley definitely, though he's had partners every now and again, he hasn't really shown any consistent friends like Omega has. Even if he's maybe sort of, kind of, out with the Bucks currently, he still has the Good Brothers at his side, so he could have a numbers advantage going into this thing. So yeah, it's gonna be something. I mean, I don't know what else they really need to do. I mean, they have one more week to hype this thing up. But I guess I don't even know what else you do in the meantime, honestly. Like, I'd be fine with not a whole lot of anything moving forward. Like, Moxley, you know, Omega doesn't need another warm-up match, and Moxley doesn't either. But, you know, we'll see. I'm sure there's going to be something involved this coming week for it. You know, I guess another thing that stood out to me for this one, and just because I'm fresh off of watching this, kind of helps too. I felt like the show really closed on a couple of good wrestling matches. And though I'm not terribly a fan of this women's tournament format, I do feel like Nyla Rose and Britt Baker put on one of the better matches in the women's division as of this point.
No, I totally agree. No, AEW's been putting on, you know, some good women's wrestling lately. That this match was one of the best ones they've done. Not a fan of the finish. I think it's been beyond time for Britt Baker to be women's champion, and it boggles my mind that they would take her out of the tournament like this. I know it's Nyla Rose, but they've also, you know, failed to really capitalize on Nyla Rose. all this time.
Yeah, that was the weird part of this one, is that I'm with you. I expected Britt Baker to win just because they've been solidly behind her. I mean, they talked about her being out with an injury, but they were behind her more than pretty much any other woman, even when she was injured.
While she was injured, yeah. She's the only woman who gets to be on TV every week. She's the only, which I guess you could argue that makes her, makes that makes her important without the title. So you can always, have her in a non-title feud and it'll work. But title's been on ice with whatever Sheeta's been dealing with, and Sheeta wasn't exactly burning it up, beforehand. Yeah, it's time. I would still say, though, it's time for Britt. It was time for Britt Baker, and honestly, I'm not that interested in the rest of this tournament. After Britt Baker's,
I am completely divorced from the Japanese side of things. I've tried to take some time to read, at least, what's going on with those matches, because I think I read a summary of Dark or something of that nature to read, but it still hasn't really helped me feel more involved in that end of the tournament. I even completely forgot about that. I even mentioned it to start with. I can't believe they're going to have more AEW Dark on Monday night. Because that's Monday night, isn't it? Dark Elevation, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, that's what they're calling it. I don't know exactly how it's going to differentiate itself from, regular Dark. I assume it'll just be an hour-long show. Because Dark, my God, I tried to watch Dark this week. Over 2 hours long. They proudly advertised 40 wrestlers would be appearing. 40. 40 squash matches, basically. I mean, not 40. 40 wrestlers in squash matches. Probably like 12 to 16 squash matches.
Wow, man. That's...
So yeah, let's cut that down. Let's put half that show on another night.
Yeah.
Instead of adding more and then still another show and then still doing 2 hour plus Darks.
Yeah, I know that Jeremy has kind of told me that is pretty much what's going on too. And it's just like, no, that's okay. Like, at this point, there is literally so much wrestling on TV. It's just like, you've got to pick what you're watching. Like, you can't watch all of it. You're never going to catch up. You're just going to pick what you go with and go from there. I don't care about that. But, the women, the Japanese women not being on TV, and really, this was the only match of consequence that they've had on TV, even for the U.S. side, honestly, because that was the semifinal, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, well, the U.S. semifinal.
Yeah, the U.S. semi. So.
And, oh my God, is it confusing when and where these things are going to be, the rest of this tournament's going to air. You know what, let's run it down as far as I know.
Oh.
The next U.S. semifinal and the Japanese final will be airing Sunday on Bleacher Report. Now, Bleacher Report Live, the sports streaming service, the regular Bleacher Report website and app. Confused yet?
No, not confused yet.
Then, the U.S. final will take place, will be airing Monday at 7 on YouTube. Then the final, the U.S. versus Japan final, will happen on Dynamite.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going back to there's only so much I'm gonna catch.
Oh, there's not a chance in hell I'm watching the Bleacher Report show or the YouTube show. Especially now that Britt Baker's not gonna be in either of them. I guess I'll watch the final. I guess I'll watch the match on Dynamite because I fully intend to watch that Dynamite because it's gonna be an all timer. Whether for good or for bad, next week's Dynamite is set up to be a hell of a show.
Yes, even the wife got a kick. She's like, Shaq is wrestling a match, and I'm like, yep, I've been calling it my birthday present ever since they announced the match. And she just started laughing. So yeah, this might be the first time in a while I watch AEW first, even though NXT doesn't tape properly at my house. they are much better about getting their program up on YouTube than AEW is. So, which is kind of interesting. Yeah, I'm not watching either of those things. Like you, I intend to watch Dynamite, so I will see the finals. And yeah, I will worry about who's in it at that point. Like, honestly, I would be, if you have Nyla Rose beat Britt Baker, it would be really wild to me to not have her beat or win the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because you haven't, honestly, like, that, if you feel like, and I mean, I guess I just feel like a lot of companies do this, that they're trying to spread, you know, their content all over the web and all over, you know, as many TV platforms as possible. Like, that's okay if it works for your, you know, your business strategy, but it really doesn't help me invest in any of those Japanese women.
No.
So, like, to have them win would just be awkward because you're just, the vast majority of your viewers, especially for Dynamite, have zero investment in that woman, no matter how good of a wrestler she may be. So, yeah, that part's a little bit tricky. The other match that I did enjoy was the match to close the show, Lance Archer versus Rey Fénix. What were your thoughts on that one?
No, I liked that match a lot. It was a really, really strong match, really good David versus Goliath style match. You know, Rey Fénix has been, it has been absolutely tremendous pretty much every week on Dynamite for months now. Archer's really coming into his own, you know, as well. He's working really good with some good people lately, and he's really, I think, at his best. Oh, it was a really, really good match. And when they kept talking about the time, the announcers kept talking about the time limit about to expire, I thought it was going to go to a draw, and they were both going to get in the ladder match.
Oh.
But then, nope, right at the last minute, Archer pulls it out, which is kind of disappointing, because once again, Fénix has been so damn great lately, to not have him in the ladder match, and yet somehow his brother gets to just be put in the ladder match, but he has to qualify, but Fénix has to qualify?
Yeah, for some reason, the better wrestler has to qualify.
Yeah, I don't understand. And Scorpio Sky hasn't had a match on TV in months, it seems. He's a podcaster now. I don't understand the booking of this battle royal. I mean, of this ladder match.
Oh, yeah. That's one of these things that I'm kind of getting tired of their gimmick of putting together these matches to put together another match. Because aren't they, what are they winning a chance at? The championship?
The TNT championship.
The TNT. Yeah, I mean, it's not even the big championship. They're winning rights to.
And then they're also going to do a tag team, one of their casino battle royale things for the tag team division.
Yeah, they. That part certainly drives me a little bananas. Like, they are even more one-trick pony than the WWE sometimes, which is quite a statement.
I mean, this pay-per-view is getting sold by the exploding barbed wire death match and Sting. I mean, and you really don't need much more than that.
Oh, right. Yeah, that is about all you need. And I guess I'd rather see Rey Fénix in a ladder match, but Lance Archer definitely brings that. Man, they keep on putting Kane in this Money in the Bank ladder match every time.
Yeah, no. If you're gonna do these multi-man ladder matches, I think you do need that one big guy for everyone to base off of and jump on and throw everyone around. You do need that when you have that many people in a ladder match. So I mean, that's fine, but I would like to see Rey Fénix. Do something to get rewarded with for all of his good work for a long time now. I mean, for the longest time, you know. I think Pentagon, you know, got most of the attention of the two as a personality, but for pure work, Fénix is one of the best in the world right now. So I was definitely disappointed in that.
Yeah, and I think he's another guy where when they had that backstage segment, I've just started to understand why they're great. A lot of these international talents are great where they're from. Like, you could just hear you could almost hear Rey Fénix's point. And I have no Spanish capabilities whatsoever, so I had no idea what he was saying. But just the tone in which he conveyed it to Alex Marvez in that backstage interview, really, you know, it's just like, yeah, I kind of understand why this guy is so great in his native country. Like, and Asuka does the same thing where there's, and even, Andrade, I think, did a good job when he spoke in Spanish. Even in NXT, where the tone could really carry his promo and not necessarily knowing what he was saying. I do hope that Fénix gets some other chance here in the near future to capitalize on the momentum that he has definitely built within the last couple of months. Anything else to hit on AEW before moving over to NXT?
I think we got a comment on it. Chris Jericho and MJF turned babyface. Why would anyone care about the Young Bucks' dad? He looks like a tool. From things I've gathered in my years of being very online, he actually is a tool. Like, I get that he's their dad, but it just reeks of on a TV show when we just introduce this character out of nowhere, who's just there to die by the end of that episode, so the rest of the family can be sad. I know WWE's done stuff like that too, so it's not like it's a trope in wrestling. But of course, AEW is supposed to be better than that. They're supposed to be the real sports company. They're supposed to be progressive and revolutionary.
Yeah, that's where the problem comes in. A lot of times for AEW is that they're supposed. Sometimes they do have alternative ideas.
Yeah, they do. Talked about it.
But they do fall back on just some of the similar, like you said, bad tropes that the WWE falls into also. And yeah, like they haven't given you any reason to invest in Papa Buck. They haven't really given you any reason to invest in the Young Bucks. You know, like they're still in that weird limbo status of are they with Kenny? Are they not with Kenny? You know, like they were bad guys for a minute, but it seems like they're playing themselves as good guys for the last month or so. Like, so that doesn't help. Like, them kind of flip-flopping face heel recently isn't helping at all. And yeah, anyone that old with a ponytail, sure, beat him up. Yeah, like you said, like the Young Bucks definitely have not done a whole lot to help garner some sympathy. I mean, we know that they're not supposed to be beating someone up, but as soon as you say beating someone up that's that old, you're like, then what's Sting doing here? What's Tully Blanchard doing in a match? If those, I know what the obvious answer is.
Why did the Young Bucks super kick Tony Schiavone and Alex Marvez?
Yeah, yeah, there are definitely too many sins of the Young Bucks to go by just even on AEW TV to feel really bad that their dad got beat up by a bunch of other jerks.
Yeah, and they just moved right past that segment too. So it's just like,
oh,
what's the point? Like, you know,
yeah,
the third, fourth from the top storyline in the company doesn't need that much gas poured on it. You really don't. That kind of stuff should be saved for the main event.
That, and I mean, isn't that enough of a match? The Young Bucks versus MJF and Chris Jericho? Like, you have enough names in the match that it really should sell itself.
It's a fine match. Go with it. You can continue to have, you know, mystery in the Young Bucks storyline with Kenny Omega and Don Callis and the Good Brothers by not, you know, completely blowing that off. You continue the dissension in the Inner Circle storyline, and get a pretty good match out of it, probably. So yeah, it really didn't need that, and it was hokey, and it was just kind of something they just blew right past.
Yeah, like I mean, they blew past it fast enough that even though I know I saw a headline, because I think the headline that popped up on my phone was Chris Jericho and MJF go too far attacking Young Buck's dad. And I saw the still picture of it and A, still forgot about it and was ready to move on to NXT already. B, now that you did remind me, I realized how ketchup packety his blood looked. And how he just looked like he was playing dead and not just injured. It's like, oh man, that's okay then. Just moving along. Oh man. Well, Dexter Lumis likes to kill people, or at least he did in a former life.
And Indy Hartwell seems to be all about it. you know what?
Yes.
Tremendous. That whole deal, tremendous. You know what? I'm not the biggest Austin Theory fan at all. Some real crap came out about him. Just generally not a fan. But him playing it off like he had a great time when he was kidnapped by Dexter Lumis. And then Indy Hartwell falling in love with him. That's hilarious. That's great stuff.
Yeah. Despite my reservations with the name The Way, that group has been highly entertaining. And yeah, just him saying, A, first off, defending himself, going, you didn't need me to use the chair. Like, him telling Johnny Gargano he didn't need to use the chair to start with was kind of funny. Like, it's just one of those ones where usually the lackey just has to shut up the whole time. So, I mean, I guess it's even kudos to Johnny Gargano for letting the, you know, the whippersnapper get in a line before shouting him down. So yeah, that was cracking me up, and yeah, Indy on top of it saying that she thinks he's kind of hot. I just really was the whipped cream and cherry on top of that whole segment. And it did seem like they were going to transition to this feud. Like, I feel like they had already kind of alluded to this feud.
Yeah, Dexter Lumis has been stalking the way for quite a few weeks. Yeah, so this was fun. It was good. You know, Dexter Lumis isn't the best wrestler in the world or anything, but you know, for this storyline and this whole way gimmick has really brought up a new side of Johnny Gargano, and one that's more sustainable than you know, guy who has great matches.
Oh,
I think you know Gargano has definitely you know raised his game during all this, and you know, so it was just a lot of fun.
Yeah, so we got that, we got a little, video package, for MSK, highlighting their, Dusty Cup win, and I couldn't remember if, I knew that Nash Carter was from Dayton. I could not remember if Wes Lee was also from Dayton, but, they are, which is, kind of a fun thing. But then they were also attacked by the grizzled young veterans, and injured. Well, at least Wes Lee was injured backstage. This feels like a pretty natural feud to carry on after the Dusty Cup.
Yeah, I mean it's fine. I'm terribly excited about it. It's nothing. Nothing too exciting, but they're doing a great job with MSK, and they're getting the big push. They got their tag title match next week. Either they're going to win the tag titles and move on to continue feuding with the Grizzled Young Veterans, or the attack is going to be used as the excuse for them not winning. I'm not 100% sure which way they're going to go.
Yeah. I did find it interesting, and this was one that I didn't even think about until right now, that NXT had its largest class signing as of late. I believe it was 17 people, and Zoe Stark, interestingly enough, even though she had just been on TV last week, I believe, she was one of the official signees this week, and she got quite a match against Io Shirai.
Yeah, there's certainly different levels to people signing with WWE to train at the Performance Center. Some are more ready for TV than others, certainly. Some aren't ready at all, of course. But yeah, no, she got a good match with Io. Probably too good. I would argue she got too much. She got too much offense. You know, I don't think it was very necessary, especially if you're not really running with her right now. But you know, it was still a good match. Io Shirai is definitely an incredible wrestler. You know, look forward to her and Toni Storm having their match in 2 weeks. So no, that was fine. But I don't know if I necessarily, you know, get why Zoe Stark got so much.
I was kind of thinking it was a little bit long when I was watching it, so I was a little bit surprised in the write-up that I'm reading that it was 8 minutes long. But, I mean, I guess that's still probably about 3 minutes longer than I'd like to see your champion have against pretty much anyone that isn't top competition. Especially since NXT is definitely not shy on the squash match routine. I did enjoy sticking at least with the ladies, the Xia Li, Casey Catanzaro / Kayden Carter feud is really helping nail down Xia Li's new character here, which they've done a good job building the last couple of months.
Yeah, no, it's been good. I mean, I commented months ago that, you know, an awful lot of time and resources were being put into those Xia Li vignettes, and no, she's obviously getting a big push with it, and you know she's gonna destroy Casey this week. I'm sure she'll destroy Kayden by next week, and eventually be put in a situation where she can move on and challenge for the NXT Women's Championship.
Yeah, I mean, that will be when things get interesting, is when she has a match against some, fairly legitimate name. I get it, you know, I would think that Ember Moon has kind of, gotten to gatekeeper status. It feels like, I don't think her return has been as fruitful as she wanted it to be. Or even, Shotzi Blackheart. I don't know if she's lodged in a gatekeeper role currently, but they also don't seem to have championship aspirations for her. That would be another one that Xia Li could beat to kind of keep moving up the food chain here. So it'll be interesting when that match does come along. What else happened here on the NXT? I guess it's really just the main event, because this did kind of apropos about one Jon Moxley's concern about walking into a trap. Karrion Kross is oddly a baby face because he's being assaulted by three men in a match. Legally, yeah. So, because it was a street fight. But this has been a weird feud.
Yeah, it absolutely has. They were both heels. Escobar is the cruiserweight champion. Kross seemed like he was being built up to go back after his NXT championship he never lost. But then all this Undisputed Era stuff kept going, and it's a weird feud. I'm not a big fan of, I've mentioned it every time it comes up, I'm not a big fan of the Cruiserweight division. I don't see a point in having a Cruiserweight division anymore when guys who weigh less than 200 pounds are challenging for, Universal Championship or the WWE Championship, and 300-pound guys are doing dives over the ring, over the ropes. I don't understand the purpose of a Cruiserweight Championship anymore.
Right.
But Escobar is the Cruiserweight champion, and got beat by a heavyweight. So that's I'm not sure exactly what that was meant to do for Escobar. It was a hell of a match, One of the better matches of the year, actually, so far. But whole thing very weird. Don't know where you go with both of them at this point.
It's pretty strange the situation that's going on there. I don't know what you do either, because like you said, because who's. I'm trying to. Oh, yeah. Finn Balor is kind of wrapped up in the Undisputed Era storyline.
Oh yeah, he absolutely is. Yeah, there's no real room to transition to to cross at any point in the near future. I guess we can move on right now with the Adam Cole segment where he was apologetic about what he did, supposedly apologetic about what he did to Kyle O'Reilly the week previous, and him and Strong get into it. Then Finn Balor shows up, and Strong hits Cole, but then Cole is begging Strong for forgiveness, saying he loves him, they're like brother, like a brother, you know. And of course, as Strong is accepting his apology, he gets a shot in the balls for it, followed up by a gold cross being ripped off his neck.
We are definitely putting a fork in the Undisputed Era for the time being.
I mean, I guess we don't know where Bobby Fish stands with anything, but honestly, who cares? but no, you certainly have Kyle and Roddy and Cole all at odds, and they all, at this point, I assume, want the NXT Championship. And well, it'd be interesting to see where they go with all this. You know, who gets the next shot at Finn Balor? When that match will be? Are they gonna do? Doesn't look like there's gonna be any NXT takeovers before, you know, pre WrestleMania, because obviously with WrestleMania being two nights.
Oh yeah. They could do it Friday night if they want to.
that's SmackDown.
Oh shit!
But I mean, there's been some talk that NXT championships will be on the line during the course of WrestleMania.
Oh.
So that four-way would certainly be something you could do.
Oh. Yeah, yeah, that could be on the card. I mean, I guess it does make sense to move that NXT stuff to the main, to the main WrestleMania, especially if you're stretching it out over two nights.
Yeah.
It kind of does hide that brand a little bit in this situation with all your other TV events you have going on, because you're not going to be able to do it Monday either, because Raw isn't getting bumped. So I guess you either include them in NXT or in WrestleMania, or you do a separate pay-per-view for them at some point to make up for it. I guess we had all talked about, whether it's you and I or Jeremy and I, that Undisputed Era was kind of at a point where something needed to happen. And this something is as good as anything else, you know?
Yeah.
I'm never sold on Roderick Strong as a babyface. But Adam Cole is a more serious heel, and definitely, it would be pretty interesting for him to get the proverbial monkey off his back. I think a lot of people say how much the Undisputed Era helped him in his first very lengthy title reign. He could definitely sell that story moving forward if he wants to, that, it was all him to start with, and that's why he's going to recapture gold. So yeah, I mean, they needed something, and breaking them up is as good an option as any. You know, if you're not going to pull them up to the main roster, breaking them up seems to make the most sense. I guess any comments on some of the incoming wrestlers for NXT, like Rick Steiner's son, or someone who's a little more famous, Taya Valkyrie?
I have no comments on Taya Valkyrie. I have never been that impressed.
Yeah.
Rick's, Rick Steiner's son, on the other hand, and that other big fella, who looks like he could be Brock Lesnar's son. Oh boy, them some big boys.
Yeah, those are big meaty men. That is for sure. Yeah, I'll be interested to see. I think Taya Valkyrie's a okay wrestler. It will be really interesting to see her up against the women's roster, especially if she's starting out in NXT, which is a real shark's tank of female wrestlers. Like, that's going to be a real sink or swim time. Like, she doesn't have her husband's advantage of having been in the WWE before, so you can have your good buddy lobby for you to come back in, and you barely need to wrestle to stay on the roster. You just need to keep yourself in good shape. Must be a tough paycheck. It'll be interesting. We probably won't see most of them for quite a few years, but she's definitely one that I would think, one way or the other, we're going to see her sooner rather than later. She has entirely too much experience sitting on the back burner long.
She's being brought in to immediately be put in the mix. I assume that, yes.
So, alrighty. Bell time beer of the show for yours truly. Land Grant Glory Hoppy American Wheat Ale. It is the official beer of the Columbus Crew, who will be starting their season in about a month and a half, defending the MLS championship with the new stadium on the way, and it is looking very nice. I get to see it a little bit more now that I have daylight when I'm traveling, which is pretty nice. So I get to see how the construction's coming along in the morning and then at night. That is Land Grant is another one of those available all over Ohio beers. So if you happen to be in that range, go ahead and purchase this fine beverage. If you like something nice and light, it's kind of it has a little bit of sweetness to it, but it also isn't too bitter from the hoppiness. It's just kind of a nice touch to let you know that it's there. And that's it for at DeFrango 11. He is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spotify, or wherever else you happen to download this fine podcast. And have a good night.
Later.